All right, let's bring in my friend Chip Patterson, CBSSports.com, Cover 3 podcast. My friend, how you doing?
I'm well. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm with shouts to Emile Jefferson and all of that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Good for Emile.
No. Let's go over the top, okay? Listen, Nolan Smith gone. Yeah. Emile Jefferson gone. I mean, does John Schauer even have any title DNA on that stuff?
Let's see. Other than him?
Right.
Yeah. He's got some title DNA.
Big Chris Carwell fan here, and I know that he's a frequent guest of the Adam Gold Show. So, you know, it is still a staff that is recruiting at a high level. And as we've discussed, you know, to see him put his own stamp on the way that Duke plays, the identity of the team on the court, while maintaining, we're still going to go after the best players in the country, but we're not going to focus entirely on flipping the whole roster. We're going to value giving the opportunities for players to come back and, you know, lead the way. I think that it is it's really good for John Shire the way that things have gone so far since taking over for the GOAT.
Oh, there's no question. I think John gets it. I think John will do a great job over a long time. As long as he wants to be here, I think John will be great. And I'm personally an enormous fan of Chris Carwell. I would vote for him. I'll just leave it at that. All right, so Mack Brown was on with us yesterday. And I want to play for you a little bit of, and I just talked about it, but I want your thoughts on this. And we don't have to play the entirety of the Mack Brown clip, but the one we just used, I asked Mack to kind of project into the future, not necessarily about NIL or transfer portal and things like that, but I want you to hear what he had to say about the future of college football.
Adam, I feel like that the playoff was put into place primarily for money.
Mm-hmm.
Because the more money that football programs can make, the better it is for their universities and for their leagues. And as we get 12 teams to play, that's going to have these young guys playing more than normal, and they're going to have to pay them for that too. So I think what we've done is we've gotten away from amateurism. We're getting closer to being a mini NFL program, programs across the country in college football. And I see people starting to probably have the players be employees of the university, probably have salary caps. I think we'll just the NFL does it right for them. And when we took the leap to get away from amateurism, those guys have done this for many years. It's working for them. So I think you'll see college football head in the same light.
All right. That's good right there, because it gives us three things to really just kind of discuss here. There's more of that Mack Brown interview available in the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast. Do you see a salary cap coming to college football? Do you see shared revenue between the SEC and the Pac-12 and the ACC?
I see revenue sharing existing with the players on a conference-by-conference level where they would essentially sign some sort of name, image, and likeness agreement that would be tied to the media rights deals. Because, and I think this makes a lot of sense, media rights, putting these players on television is using their name, image, and their likeness to be able to profit, to be able to sell ads against it. It is the last, you know, really valuable thing in live televisions, and college football is something that TV executives love so much. They're naming themselves athletic directors and conference commissioners now. So, look, the thing that I love about where Mack Brown is at in his career is that because he's 71,
right,
it would be easy to dismiss this as old man yells at cloud, but he's inside the beast, and he's spent time at the highest levels winning national championships, competing for national championships. Then he was at ESPN. He actually has the best perspective on where things are headed, and he's so clear. I actually did listen to the entire interview yesterday, so enjoyed it. No. I was listening to it because I'm very interested in hearing Mack Brown talk in these public forums right now because of the way he's addressing things, because he spells it out in a way that might be read, again, as like doomsday-ish, but he's actually providing a path. He's providing a blueprint. So I don't know about salary caps specifically, but you can very much change the balance of sort of NIL and you know, how much schools provide, how much a conference mm-hmm. could provide, and you could set scholarship limits. So I don't see a true salary cap necessarily, mm-hmm. but I do see us moving towards a professionalization model for college football.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, it is pro sports to the administrators, to the schools. It's pro sports. And maybe we're getting into the area where it's becoming pro sports for the athletes as well. That would only be fair. Salary cap to me is we're sharing revenue and everybody is able to spend equally on player compensation. And I don't see that. I mean, we sort of have it. We could have it within the leagues, but I don't see Alabama going, yeah, we're going to kick Vanderbilt some money so they can pay their players exactly what we pay ours. So,
but I think you can't stop the marketing deal. I think that we've already right. gotten too far past that where, you know, there might be a compensation from the SEC where the per player payouts yeah. are the same in Alabama and Vanderbilt, but you can't put a cap on what they're able to do in terms of going out into the community. But that was something else that Mack Brown said. And again, you can listen to the interview on the Best of the Adam Gold Show. But he said he came to it from the healthiest mindset. He said, yeah. we are asking too much from our donors. We're already going to our boosters. We're telling yes. you to join the Rams Club, to buy season tickets, to help us fund all these scholarships, yep. to help subsidize 26 Olympic sports, which are achieving a lot, and it's great to be able to see their success, but to continue to fund them, and now we're coming for NIL on top of that. I really appreciated the way that Mack Brown was coming at this from the perspective of the fans and of the boosters and of the people who care about the university, where the university and the conference, which are benefiting financially, they can't keep farming out the responsibility of compensating the players. There has to be a way, because otherwise they're going to stop giving and then they're yep. going to check out, and then you've lost them for a generation.
No question. And then it puts even more pressure if you don't win. When all of a sudden, oh my gosh, could you imagine? You tick off a booster, you have a couple of bad seasons in a row. I'm like, sorry, I'm not donating to that. When actually now would be the time we would need you to donate more. The other thing he talked about, which I found fascinating, was he admitted out loud what nobody else wants to admit, and that we probably need to reduce the size of the regular season if we are going to be expanding the playoffs. He talked about maybe getting rid of conference championship games, which, I mean, yeah, I could. We certainly could. But I do think that we are asking a ton of our players because they're really not getting paid to play, but we do seem to be continuing to expand the amount of games they have to play.
Yeah, and he just is coming at this from somebody who just coached 14 games
yeah.
and saw his team collapse down the stretch. Start 9-1 and then lose their last four.
Mm-hmm.
He has looked in the lot. It's like the Dabo Sweeney opinion when they first started talking about college football playoff expansion is one that resonated with me because I was in the locker room with Clemson after 2016 and 2018. And his line was, I can't imagine going into the locker room after that 15th game and then saying, all right, boys, we got one more. They're so hurt.
Yeah.
They're worn down.
Yeah.
This is a violent game, and you're always gritting it out for just a little bit more.
Who else loves summer but gets a little overwhelmed by all the plans? Daily Harvest helps me conquer the morning and kick off my day with intention through nourishing and delicious food, all delivered to your door. Daily Harvest is the easiest way to get your daily serving of sustainably sourced fruits and vegetables without the shopping, chopping, and post-cooking cleanup. Go to dailyharvest.com right now, enter promo code HARVEST, and get up to $65 off your first order. Their strawberry and peach smoothie or apple and cinnamon oat bowl are the perfect addition to my morning routine. They also have tons of options for any time of day, like flatbreads, harvest bowls, and bites. We all deserve easy mornings. Let Daily Harvest give you one less thing to worry about. So don't wait. Order your meals now at dailyharvest.com. Enter promo code HARVEST for up to $65 off your first order. That's dailyharvest.com, promo code HARVEST for up to $65 off.
There's nothing like kicking back, tearing open a bag of M&Ms, and hanging with a friend. Now that's a good time.
Whether you're at the movies, on a beach, or stuck in traffic, there are so many kinds of M&Ms to enjoy. Milk chocolate, peanut butter minis, and many more. It's the iconic candy that's all about bringing people together to bond over colorful bite-sized chocolate candies, delicious flavors, and something else we all have in common. Fun. M&Ms. For all fun kind.
I like that Mac Brown wants to keep the bowls around. I like that he doesn't want this to playoff or bust. He's like he said, you know, 20 teams probably can talk about being in a college football playoff at the start of every season. And there's more than 20 teams at high levels of college football. So we got to be able to have something else for them to strive for, or else it's really going to be, you know, sort of downgrading the experience in a way that's going to be very hurtful, I think, to the future of college football. And so whether I don't think we will see a regular season game, you know, taken off, I could see us eliminating the FCS game. I could see us putting in another off week, which is another good idea, especially if we go to an expansion of the conference schedule where everyone's playing 9 or 10 conference games, because then you would at least give them a little bit more time to work their way through the schedule. But I am in his camp in wanting to say off the jump, when it comes to college football playoff expansion, that we are asking more than has ever been asked of an 18 to 22 year old who is competing at this high level at the intensity and the spotlight that comes with major college football. And so considerations need to be made to that experience.
Chip Patterson is with us, as he is on every Wednesday. Yeah. I appreciated him looking at the schedule as being too arduous, and maybe we need to consider lengthening the schedule with not, you know, increasing the numbers of games. You know, the college regular season is over by Thanksgiving.
Right.
The NFL plays another 6 weeks beyond Thanksgiving. It's almost like in baseball, the trade deadline is that's where it is in the NFL. But Thanksgiving, there's still, you know, 40% of the season still to play after that. The regular season in college is over. I realize they start a week earlier. Yes, there is a week zero, which whatever. But basically, they start a week ahead of the NFL, and they wrap up while playing 12 regular season games just so much earlier. And I do think that we are asking a ton of our college athletes, and I appreciated Mac Brown getting to all of that. Every school's got different goals anyway, right? I mean, if I know when, I'll just use Mike Elko as an example here, and he didn't say this specific. I don't believe at Mike Elko's press conference, he talked about winning national championships at Duke. But the realistic goal for Duke's program, to me, is, hey, I want to be playing in a bowl game every year. I think we're good enough. And the years where the planets align, you know, maybe we challenge for the top of the league, or a division, as they were just in the Coastal, which no longer exists. Maybe we can get to a conference championship game. That should be like, oh my gosh, what a year! But ultimately, the bar for Duke is bowl eligibility, year in and year out. Being that's different from the expectations of an Alabama or a Georgia or a Clemson or a Florida State.
Without a doubt. I mean, it's like, I continue to go back to, you know, the fans, the donors, the boosters, the people who are, you know, the lifeblood of the sport. The reason why college football is great on television is not because the best football players in the world are playing it. It's because of the scenes.
Yeah.
It's because you see 80,000 people all filled up this stadium and everything that's going on with the passion and the pageantry. And I think that if you talk to a lot of fans at most Power Five programs, we want to win our home games. We want to beat our rivals. And we want to play a game, preferably against a good team in a warm location. Like, we would like a bowl game that I would at least like to fancy the idea of making a trip for, to go and see, to play against a good team, to make it a little bit of an event. Just, again, win your home games, beat your rivals, play in a postseason game that is of some consequence. Like, that is a good season for a lot of Power Conference programs. And so, you know, whatever the future of college football looks like, whether it is professionalized, you know, whether we've got collective bargaining, the conferences are paying compensation or this, that, or the other. I do hope that we are in a situation where it is not, you are either in the top 16 of 133 or there are 100 some odd teams that are failures, right? Because I think that that would be a big disappointment.
Agreed. 100% agreed. All right. One quick thing. We'll just take a minute on this. And I sent you an article and maybe we'll get into more when we talk next time, whenever that is. And I'm off for a week.
Who's in next week? Have you figured out?
Oh, yes. My friend Hayes Permar. Your friend Hayes Permar.
I've heard of him.
Yeah. He's a businessman of some note now. So Fox Sports, as our Brian Fisher, who's been with a bunch of places now, with writes also for Fox Sports, did a survey, if you will, and examined ACC coaches and which ones are good at certain things, developing players at certain positions, and which are not. The best developer of quarterbacks in the ACC, they've got Dabo Swinney, which I'm like, maybe. Dave Doran, second on that list. Mac Brown was, I guess, others of note. Dave Doran and Mac Brown, along with Jeff Brohm of Louisville, though we don't really have much of an example of him at Louisville doing that because he hasn't coached a game at Louisville yet. But what do you think of Dabo Swinney, one, and then Dave Doran and Mac Brown being mentioned?
Dabo Swinney is undoubtedly riding the success of Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence,
right.
And he is not being penalized for DJ Uiagalelei, who may not win the starting job at Oregon State.
Right.
And we'll see. But one thing that in, like, Chris Vezina is a true freshman from this past cycle who a lot of people think is really good. He has done a great job of not just finding talented quarterbacks, but finding talented quarterbacks that also fit within what he wants to build. The thing I love about Mac Brown is that he has been able to, whether it's Sam Howell, whether it is Drake May, or whether it is old Tad Hudson, he's just pulling all the in-state cards. Like, who's the best quarterback in the state of North Carolina? Okay, let's go get him. Mm-hmm. And I think that the Dave Doran story extends beyond the quarterback position. I think it's the quarterback position. I think it's the offensive line.
Yep.
I think it's the defensive line. I think it's linebacker. I think that the entire player development that happens within NC State's football program on both sides of the ball is phenomenal. And in the top quadrant, top tier, however you want to say, of the ACC, that's where NC State's player development exists. For the Clemson thing, TBD. Garrett Riley will determine whether or not Dabo gets mm-hmm. to still hold on to that position as an elite developer of the quarterback position, because what they got out of Brandon Streeter was not elite, but I think that Riley is special and they've got a chance to flip that narrative around.
Dave Doran's name came up in a couple of spots here, as did Mac Brown. Mario Cristobal came up in the surprisingly disappointing.
Yeah, Justin Herbert's whole college career.
Yep. Yeah.
I made a principal of fading Oregon's old offensive coordinator when he was the head coach at UNLV, because if Justin Herbert could be that good in the NFL and just be a guy at Oregon, well, then there was some mismanagement going on right there.
Yeah, I wonder, they're paying Mario Cristobal a ton of money at Miami. I wonder how long that's going to last. Chip Patterson, I appreciate your time. As always, my friend, Cover 3 Podcast. This is Bud Elliott season, by the way, at the Cover 3 Podcast. But I appreciate you doing this, as always, on Wednesdays. I'll talk to you later.
Sounds good. Y'all be well.
There you go. No, he's the only, Chip, not only my favorite person to talk with on this radio station ever. Again, every Wednesday. He is the only one with a sign-off.
Yeah?
The only one. Nobody. We need to get him a theme song.
I know.
I want a theme song for Chip.
T-shirt. Y'all be well.
Y'all be well.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all be well.
Hey, I do that with my MMA videos. I say, let's get it.
Oh,
I don't
do
even
you?
Know where it came from. I have no idea.
I don't know. You should say, let's get ready to rumble.
I should. Well, I might get sued for that one. It's not
probably true.